Hey, welcome on in. Happy Monday, everybody. This is Lunch with Klabes and Joe here on KlabesOnline.com, powered by Ameren, Illinois, driven by Munganass St. Louis Acura, and also sponsored by the HomeLoanExpert.com. I'm Joe Roderick, joined alongside by Mike Claiborne. Klabes, how you doing today?
I am doing well. Yeah, everything's good. No complaints. Fun weekend of activities and sports and a lot of things to talk about today.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, the old saying, you go down to the ballpark, you never know what you're going to see. That was prevalent last night. Sunday night baseball, it was on the national stage, an ESPN game. And Klabes, they, you know what, the Cardinals gave ESPN an awful lot to talk about and an awful lot, a nice little showcase of this 2022 team.
Well, they sure did. And, you know, it was a big crowd. I think they had just under 40,000. And they were hyped up from the opening pitch, it seemed like, and the Cardinals didn't disappoint in the first inning. Yeah, it was a good national TV game for the Cardinals, and everybody got in the fun. And then, as we know, at the end with Albert electing the pitch, that even made it more entertaining. And I don't think I've ever seen or heard Albert as loose as he was after the game about that particular moment.
And that, yeah, the way it came about, what Ollie said 90 seconds before they went out there for the inning, he said, I'll go do it. And they let him out there. And you know what? Things like that. It's been a 22-year career. We know it ends after this year. Why not? Why not let him go out there and throw an inning when you're up by 13 runs and just say that he's done it before? And a great moment with Evan Longoria, who's been in the league for so long, too. Wanting the ball that he got the base hit off of Albert with.
I mean, that ball is going to be very valuable. Think about it. I mean, he faced, what, seven batters? I mean, it's going to be a valuable ball at some point. And it was really cool that everybody was having fun with it because, you know, the Giants had been accused of running it up on teams. And the Cardinals could have run it up on them more, but they elected to go in a different direction, which I appreciate. And it's the last time you're going to see them for the regular season. So, all's well that ended well last night.
I don't know, and I've been going back and forth with this since I was watching it last night. I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing that Yadi wasn't in there catching. You know, Yadi regrets not being the catcher when Albert Pujols was pitching, but I mean, they would have been like two third graders out there giggling the whole time if they would have been out there together working as a battery.
Yeah, no, that's a good point you make. But I think, you know, Yadi probably needed to get some rest. A long flight and long time getting into New York this morning. So, you know what, maybe there'll be another time down the road where they have a chance to do it again.
And Yadi mentioned after the game now that he kind of wants his chance to pitch this year, that this is his last year. It's something he hasn't done in Major League Baseball. If you remember, not this past offseason, but the offseason before when he was playing down in the playing winter ball, he pitched for that team down there, but he has never pitched in Major League Baseball. And I think he's kind of put it out there now. Like, you let Albert pitch, now you got to let me pitch at some point. So, well, it sounds like Yadi has already started that campaign.
The only way that's going to work is you're going to have a 10, 13, 14 run lead, or you're going to be getting your ass kicked by 10, 13, 14 runs in the ninth inning or in the eighth inning. So I think that's the only way it's going to happen. You know, I think the bigger issue is the Cardinals scoring all those runs. What do you expect tonight? Because they have not shown the ability to rebound after having a good night. So this could be a rough evening for the Cardinals if they go by what we've seen in the past.
Yeah, and let's say, you know, on a serious note, the offense last night and the team itself, it's something that we have talked about since he has come to St. Louis, and that's the way Paul Goldschmidt hits when it gets hot. And I don't think it's any coincidence that it was 90 plus degrees in St. Louis this week, and Paul Goldschmidt has started to hit.
Plus, he owns the Giants. He has killed the Giants over his career.
He and Arenado too. They showed the stat on ESPN last night that those two have the highest OPS against the Giants all time, and it from their years in Colorado and Arizona, and it's continued on here in St. Louis now. But Paul Goldschmidt hitting, Tommy Edman, we saw he had a nice weekend. It's, you know, I don't know what you do, though, after that fourth spot in the lineup. Because Juan Yepes proved this weekend against the Giants that, you know what, he can hit a team. A second time seeing him, that he, it looks like, you know, that he's here to stay.
Oh, I agree. I don't think there's any doubt. He hasn't shown us any reason on why they should consider sending him back. And I really initially thought what they would do is have a rotation of him, Newt Barr, and Donovan kind of rotating up and down. But I think Yepez has really established himself. And you make a good point about the fact that this is a team he's seen twice, and they've had a chance to really think about and make adjustments, and he seemed to go with the flow. He's a different guy from what we've seen in the past. I don't want to make the comparison of him and Albert at this stage of their careers, but, man, you know what? He seems to take on things reasonably quick, and that's something we just don't see from a lot of rookies.
And they have shown a few times now him in the dugout sitting right there. He's next to Albert. I mean, he is there just taking everything in from him when it comes to learning about hitting. And when you're surrounded too by gold glove defenders, that has to help in the field too and adjusting to left field. I mean, that ball last night in the game that he kind of went back on and kept going back, and you could see was wondering where that wall was and still made that catch. For a guy that, you know, is learning how to play the outfield, that could have been a disaster.
Well, yeah, it could have, but I think we have to take something into account. One, he puts a lot of work in, okay? A lot of work before games, before anybody gets to the park. I've gotten there a few times where he and Willie McGee are just taking ball after ball after ball, different angles, different flights. I mean, they're not missing anything. Now, granted, there's going to be a ball that'll eat him up, just like they eat up everybody else. I think as long as he keeps it in front of him and throws it to right base, I think we can all live with that. I mean, as Ollie Marmol said, you know, his best position is the batter's box. And as long as we understand that, we'll be fine. But I also feel like he's a guy that will split time with Albert from a right side as a DH as well. So there's going to be opportunities for him. So I wouldn't overly concern myself about his glove, although he's putting enough work in that let's put it this way. He's better than Ozuna was in left field, which doesn't take much.
That's gold glove winning, Marcelo Ozuna.
Yeah, almost, you know what? That almost tarnished the gold and the award itself when they gave him one. But with that said, what he and Brendan Donovan are doing is something that we'd hope for, didn't know what to expect. And, you know, they're going to make the team make some tough decisions. They got a tough decision coming up at the end of the month on who's going to go out as far as the three pitchers are concerned. I mean, the other pitchers, they're going to have 13 pitchers.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of questions still to be answered with this ball club. But, you know, I think what they have to have more than anything else is consistency offensively. We haven't seen it. We've seen it scored in bunches. And then the next night it just fizzles out. So they've got to figure out a way to be a little bit more consistent, have some tougher at-bats. Obviously, there's some guys that are struggling. DeJong is gone. O'Neill's still fighting it. Carlson, you know, is in and out more or less, and Bader has not really taken off like I think everyone hoped for him to do. So there's still some work to be done.
Yeah, then Tyler O'Neill, the name that I was going to just about to bring up here, we saw him get benched on Saturday and on Sunday. The team said it was scheduled, but 2 days in a row, that's pretty telling that they chose to go that route this weekend with Tyler O'Neill's batting averages dipped under 200.
Oliver Marmol is a guy who is about results, okay? And if you're playing well, you play. If you're not playing well, we got to think about how we can get you to that point. And maybe for O'Neill, who is just really off course, I mean, he's swinging at everything. He's getting himself out. Strikeout rate is just off the chart. So when you have a guy who needs to sit back and think about it and watch the game, that doesn't mean watch more video. Talk about watching the game, seeing what pitchers are doing, seeing what pitchers have and what they don't have, and figuring out where they're going and how they're going to pitch to you. And sometimes you have to sit down and do it. And if he's a pro, like I think he is, he will reason on why he's not playing and work harder to get back in the lineup.
Cardinals head off to New York. It's a four-game series in Queens against the Mets this week. Max Scherzer, for those of you wondering, pitches on Wednesday, and he will match up against Jordan Hicks in that matchup on Wednesday, and then Thursday is an afternoon game. Last time the Mets were in town, we saw the big scuffle at the end of the three-game series. A lot of players were hit during that. It was 3 weeks ago, Klabes. Do you think we're going to see any of that revisited at any point in this series?
I don't think so. You know, those things kind of have a tendency to move on. You might see something near the end. That just depends on who's throwing inside at the early part of the series. The challenge that you have to deal with, the Cardinals are in the middle of playing 35 out of 36 days. And the last thing they need is somebody to get hurt in this situation, especially when your offense isn't clicking. So I will say this. If the Mets started, I don't think the Cardinals will have any problem returning the favor. I really don't.
We will we'll see how that goes this weekend or this week. The first game is tonight, and as you can see, Klabes, you're still here in St. Louis. You get the week off from the Camo X broadcast this week for those, but we'll still hear your voice on those pregame shows, right?
I will be around in some way, shape, or form. I'll be around in spirit. How about that?
That works for that works for me. Hey, also around baseball this this weekend. I don't know if you guys you saw or you were following as it was happening on Sunday, but the Reds and the Pirates.
Yeah,
this is why the Cardinals don't need to go out and spend, you know, Mets money on a roster at the beginning of the year. This is why that I think the Cardinals look at their roster and they think, you know what, this is a team that can make the playoffs. When you have the Reds and the Pirates this year in your division and you get to play them so many times, and if you missed it, the Pirates were no hit on yesterday. And they won the game 1-0 over the Reds. The Reds only got 4 hits in their game. What is it? 6th time that it's that this has happened in Major League history where a team gets no hit and still manages to win the game.
Yeah, it's the damnedest thing you'll ever see. And if you're Cincinnati, you just got to ask yourself, why us? You know, what do we do wrong? But you know, it just kind of pales what the Red season has been about. And even with that said, I still think the Reds will be a formidable opponent down the road. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to compete for a playoff spot.
2025?
No, I'm saying what they're going to do, they're going to have somebody's number. And I look at them as being a team that you're going to need to win 3 out of 4 or 2 out of 3 against them, and you might get swept. Or they may get 2 out of 3 out of you. So they're a team that will not roll over because they have too many pros. I mean, you know, they've got Moustakas, they've got Votto, they got Pham, they've got some other guys who've been around a little bit. India plays hard when he's healthy. Senzel has finally figured out how to play center field. And they've got some other guys that I think will make them a respectable team. I don't think they're going to roll over and just say, all right, well, let's just take another ass kicking tonight.
Yeah, it seems like it's the baseball gods are just having their way with the Reds after the opening the home opener comments made by their by the president of their team. That's what it seems like.
You're right. That's a good point. It didn't help. And I know he was trying to garner some interest, but I just think he went about it the wrong way. And you know, it's hard enough for them to get fans to come to the ballpark as it is, and he really didn't help it. And you know, by basically gutting the team, you know, this is where they're at. Now, with that said, most people will tell you that they've got a pretty good farm system of pitcher. It's not ready, but if they decide to hold on to some of it, they might be very interesting to watch in a year or two, as you mentioned, 24, 25.
Yeah. Hey, this is Lunch with Klabes and Joe here on KlabesOnline.com, powered by Ameren, Illinois, also sponsored by TheHomeLoanExpert.com and our friends at Mungenast.
At St. Louis Acura, new inventory is arriving daily, both new and pre-owned. Our buying team adds a higher level of personalized service that others can't match. We sell over 100 pre-owned vehicles monthly, and many of these are matched by our buying teams in Missouri and Illinois. As new Acura production ramps up, be one of the lucky ones to try the newest Type S models now available. Performance has never been so stylish and comfortable. St. Louis Acura remains committed to becoming better than ever for you.
Klabes, we're also sponsored by our friends at Pawfect K9, a company that you have gotten to know quite well these last few months.
Oh, yeah. They've done a phenomenal job for me because I have 2 dogs, and my dogs need a little refresher course in manners. And they did a phenomenal job. I have no complaints with what they were able to do. I recommended them to a few of my friends who decided to use them. And I'm much happier with what they've done and how and the results have been. As I mentioned before, maybe you might want a pet, or maybe you want to get one for your kid and you want to make sure it's properly trained. I would suggest you give them a call or check them out online, because they don't turn down any dogs. That's one of the things I want to make sure people understand, because there's some breeds that people are a little antsy about, but not these guys, because they not only work with domestic dogs, they also work with police department dogs and military dogs. So they have great experience in how they can make sure your pet is an enjoyable one and make sure the pet has a good time as well as they learn discipline and learn how to make the people who own them happy. So if you're looking, if you're thinking about it, why don't you call them or check them out online, give them a call or email and let them know you're thinking about it and let them tell you why they are so good. And believe me, they've been great for me. I know they'll be great for you.
2022 marks the 40th anniversary of the memorable 1982 World Championship team. The Cardinals will be celebrating this remarkable championship all season long. On Friday, May 27th, 25,000 fans ages 16 and older will take home a 1982-inspired baseball T-shirt featuring the roster of this World Championship team. For more information, go to cardinals.com/promotions.
Back here on Lunch with Klabes and Joe here at klabesonline.com. Hey, do want to remind you, a new episode of the 5460, the Joe West podcast, dropped this morning. If you haven't gone and checked it out, it's a conversation with the commish, Hall of Famer Rick Hummel. As Klabes, you and Joe talk about the long relationship that dates back to the 70s that Joe West and Rick Hummel have had when they first met.
Well, you know, it's always great to visit with Rick Hummel, and he's truly an institution, 50 years in the business, and he's seen a lot and done a lot. And I'm not even surprised anymore about the respect that he gets from people who aren't from St. Louis. I mean, we consider him a treasure. But I think everybody else in the world of baseball does too, whoever has got to know him or have heard about him. And he's very candid, very funny, has some great stories. And I think if you really want to know the commission, know a little bit more about Joe West, this would be a good start.
Again, you could just go and search 5460, the Joe West podcast, wherever you find your podcast. It's not a Klabes Online thing. You have to go and search for that. It'll be under the Podcast Heat group of podcasts, but just search for it, Spotify, iTunes. You'll find it right there. It'll pop right up for you. Episode 3 out today.
Klabes, by the way, I want to go back to the Heat podcast, and they do a lot of great wrestling podcasts as well. I'm reading that Ric Flair is going to have one more round.
I had it on my list today, and I thought I am going to bring this up, and Klabes is just going to roll his eyes at me.
No, Ric Flair. I remember Ric Flair when he first started. Okay.
Yeah.
And he didn't he hasn't changed one bit. He used to wrestle at the Chase, and he was a guy that I don't think he's changed one bit. He had the shtick then, and he was a pretty good wrestler. When wrestling then was more about actual athletic moves compared to the showmanship that comes with it now. Now, granted, that didn't mean he wasn't a showman then, but Ric Flair was always an accomplished wrestler.
Yeah, so that is going to take place the end of July, Klabes, in Nashville, Tennessee. So it's the same weekend as WWE SummerSlam. And the same folks that run Podcast Heat are the same folks that also run an event called StarCast that'll be out there. It's a huge wrestling convention. You can meet all of your favorite old school wrestlers out there, and it's at the Nashville Fairgrounds. And what I thought was going to be the main attraction, might still be, what I was told was going to be the main selling point, the main event of the weekend, was going to be centered around Ric Flair. I did not know it was going to be Ric Flair's last match until I saw it this morning. So that was news to me. I knew of all the other stuff that was going on out there. I did not know that Ric Flair was going to have his last match ever out there on the fairgrounds.
Well, who's he going up against?
I don't know. I have not reached out to anybody to ask yet who he's going to face. I don't know who it's going to be. You know what? I have three names in mind as to who I'd like to see it against.
All right, who?
Two of them you're not going to know. But I mean, obviously, number one would be Hulk Hogan. I think that would be to have hit Hogan and Flair. I don't know what shape Hogan's in, but there are two other wrestlers. One guy's named Jay Lethal, who I know Ric Flair's been working out with. And then another guy who's big on the indie scene is a guy named Matt Cardona. I think that it would just the build for it would be really good on the internet if you could get those.
See, here's where I think Hulk Hogan probably makes sense. I think Ric Flair has got to go against somebody that was his contemporary. Now, the problem is, I don't know if anybody's alive that, you know, started and had the sort of success that Ric Flair had over a consistent period of time.
All of his, you know what, all of his main biggest opponents of all time, like a Hogan, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat still alive, Sting is still alive, like all those names are still alive. Like the guys that he had the big time matches with.
But they're not as old as him, though. And that's my point. I'm talking about guys who broke in when he did. All those guys you're talking about are younger than him. I'm talking about people who were, Flair's got to be in his 70s.
He is 73 years old.
That's what I thought. So I'm talking about somebody in that window of 68 to 73 or 68 to 75. And I don't know if any of those guys are alive.
I just tell you, I haven't gotten a response yet, but I will. I'll let you know if I hear anything or if that's been decided yet. Because it's still 3 months away. Okay, yeah, I just got a text about it. I'm not going to reveal any of that. On the air. I'll let that stay a secret. Hey, but we got other stuff. Jeez. I'll tell you off there. Anyway, okay. Hey, you know what? Wrestling has its villains. So does St. Louis. And the Blues will be facing a team owned by one of the biggest villains in St. Louis, Stan Kroenke's Avalanche, here in the second round of the NHL postseason. We knew it was going to be the Avalanche for the past week, but it took some time to finally get there. And find out the schedule with all the other series going to seven games. Your initial thoughts, Blues and Avalanche?
Well, the Blues are going to have to be better than what they were against Minnesota. The Avalanche wow you with their skill set. And I know everybody talks about Nathan McKinnon. And they got some great forwards, but Cale Makar is must-watch hockey. He's a guy that can do so much. And how the Blues defend him and keep the puck away from him will be a great challenge. Can the Blues beat Colorado? Yeah, they can. I mean, they're deeper. There's no question about that. But the question is, Colorado's top four or five players are probably a little bit better than the Blues' top four or five players. So this will have to be a team effort where your fourth line is going to have to really make Colorado's fourth line accountable. So it depends on what they can do early on in the series. Question is, how much do you play the body? I don't think you can get into a shootout with Colorado. So you're going to have to make them stop and start. You're going to have to play the body a little bit. You're going to have to deny them pucks. Fundamental things that the Blues used to be able to do. So I'm going to say this series will go six.
The one thing that you always worry about in the postseason is that time off, is that long period of rest. But each team has had it. Yeah, Colorado had it. Has been a little longer. But when you look at
they had one more day.
Was
Colorado
it one, no,
won on Tuesday?
Did they win? Because Colorado won on four.
No, they won on weekend.
Yeah,
so
they went on four. So the Blues, So, but I mean, all these other teams, every other series, you know, they had to play right in. They're going to go right into the second round. This one, though, you have both teams that have a long period of rest, and I will find out the first few shifts, which team it affected the most. And I'm not saying that's going to affect the entire series, but one team gets caught slipping an early goal 90 seconds into game one could shift that momentum really fast. But, you know, like we saw against the Wild, the momentum, it didn't mean shit. You know, the Blues come out, kick their ass in game one, and then they get run through in the next two games, and the Blues turn around and win three in a row. So you tell me where that momentum was.
Well, here's the other thing you got to take into account, and I'll be anxious to see how the Blues approach this. Excuse me, with regard to playing at altitude late in the season, that's always been a bugaboo. And it normally catches up to you the day after. So the Blues have to be careful and not let that be a factor that we sometimes take for granted. But it should be a good series. I really look at all the series that are going to take place. the Battle of Alberta. And I don't know if you remember how those series used to be back in the day. You know, it was, I mean, it was, a, you know, if you could survive, you had a chance to move on. But even if Edmonton would have played Dallas, that would have been a great series also. But it's going to be Calgary and Edmonton. They don't like each other. It's been a tradition. Zach Cassian and Matthew Tkachuk have had their own battle going on since he walked into the league. The goaltending is a little bit better on the Calgary side. But I think Calgary is the better team as well. Now, you look at the Eastern Conference. This Florida-Tampa series is going to be one for the books, okay? You got the high-scoring Florida Panthers. You got a two-time cup-winning Tampa Rays, Lightning. And now they've lost Brayden Pont, and he's one of their best players. And you don't know how long he's going to be out. Their goaltending is spectacular. So that might be something they can do, is steal a game somewhere along the way. The Hurricane and the Rangers, that's going to be a good series. It may not be an exciting series because the Hurricane are very good defensively. The Rangers have a very good goaltender who got lit up a little bit against Pittsburgh, and they can score a little bit also. So I expect that to be a very good series. So I really look at all of these games that are left are going to be must-watch TV. And I can almost say the same thing about the NBA and what's going on there as well.
We'll get into the NBA in just a second. NHL has the night off tonight before the Lightning and the Panthers kick off the second round tomorrow, followed by Blues and Avalanche. That's an 8:30 start time, and that's going to move. That's going to be on TNT. So I don't think it's on. It's not on the regional
sports. No, regional's anymore. Over.
They're yeah,
over.
So it's it moves to TNT for your game on Tuesday night. Let's talk about the first off, you talked about the Eastern Conference. Toronto loses to the Lightning in Game 7, just continues their streak of not being able to make it out of the first round. And you mentioned, I mean, you have that Calgary and Edmonton. Those are the only two Canadian teams left. I mean, we're seeing another year of no team from Canada possibly winning the Stanley Cup. Just a streak that goes, was it 93?
The last time a team from Canada won was the 93-94 Montreal Canadiens. Which, by the way, was the last team in the National Hockey League that had an entire North American roster.
Really?
Think about that. Everybody on that team was North American.
Huh.
There's been some progress made. The unfortunate thing about Toronto, you know, they have the longest streak in professional sports of not winning a championship. I mean, last time they won was 67, the year the Blues came, the year the Blues were going to be in the National Hockey League. Think about that. It's longer than the Rangers when they went 50 years and didn't win a cup. It's longer than the Cleveland Browns. They didn't have a Super Bowl in. It's longer than the Arizona Cardinals because they have only been in Arizona a short period of time. There's a lot of teams that have gone on to win, that have been expansion teams, that have done other things, that have won since the Toronto Maple Leafs have won. They have the longest streak of futility. And that's saying something. And you know what? They were good enough to win that game on Saturday night. They played well. I mean, they threw a lot of rubber at the goaltender. They just couldn't get one home. And I know everybody said, oh, they got to blow it up. Well, where do you start? Campbell was pretty good in the net. Their defense was solid. They had enough. They had a 60-goal score. So, I mean, you know what? I'm just not sure what you want to do. You want to blow up and fire another coach? Okay, who do you want to hire? You want to hire Barry Trotz? They fired DeBoer today. I mean, there's a lot of guys that are out there. I just don't know what the next step is.
I was going to bring up.
Now, the problem they're going to have, though, they're going to have some cap problems. You know, they went all in this year. And they're going to have some cap problems, so they may have to reconstruct how this thing is set up.
I was going to bring up the DeBoer firing out in Vegas. The Las Vegas Knights have been the Golden Knights have been a franchise for 5 years. They're on coach number three now.
Well, you saw this coming. They went all in. They went all in on Pietrangelo last year, Jack Hughes this year. So maybe this is a general manager situation. You know, when you have to fire three different coaches in 5 years, maybe it's not the coach. Maybe it's not the coach. You know, I mean, I think every general manager should at least have two hires. And the third one's got to be a lights out no brainer. Okay. And I think right now, I'm not sure where you go with Vegas because they're going to have some cap issues too. They won't have a lot of draft choices. So I don't know how they're going to develop. They were already a little thin on the blue line. They didn't really have a fourth line. So they're a team that is in a state of flux. They're basically the Western Conference version of the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yeah, that's not a good start to a franchise. Three coaches in 5 years.
Yeah, you're right.
Blues start again.
You know, the Blues kind of went through that. You go back to those early days, Scotty was there for like 3-4 years. And the next thing you know, man, they were going through coaches. Like, I remember 1 year they fired a guy on Christmas Day. Another year they hired a guy to be the coach and general manager. I mean, it was that those early years of the St. Louis Blues were comical as far as coaches were concerned. And that's the beast of the National Hockey League, though. You look around the NHL. I mean, you could be coach of the year with three different teams if you don't watch out. So it's one of those deals where there's very little patience and you expect to get fired no matter how good of a coach you are.
Same goes in the NBA when it comes to tenures there. We will talk about the conference championship matchups when we come back from this break here on Lunch with Claves and Joe. Powered by Ameren, Illinois, driven by Munganass St. Louis Acura, and sponsored by thehomeloanexpert.com.
Broke ground for a 2.5 megawatt solar facility. It's located in East St. Louis on 17 acres of property. It is the first time a utility has built a energy generating plant in Illinois in the last 30 years.
You talk about a clean energy facility. Give everybody an idea of what exactly that means.
Solar panels will collect the energy from the sun. There will be 3,000 of these solar panels, 8 foot by 8 foot. Those panels will then convert the sunlight that will be converted to electricity that can then go out on the power lines that comes to your homes.
Hey, Cardinals just had a great weekend of giveaways, and coming up again next time, they're home Saturday, May 28th. The Cardinals host the Brewers, and that day, 25,000 fans ages 16 and older will take home a stainless steel tumbler featuring Yadier Molina, courtesy of Coca-Cola and Quick Trip. 30-ounce tumbler comes in two styles, and you won't know which one you get until you enter the gates at Busch Stadium. For tickets, visit cardinals.com/promotions and do so quickly, because that is one of the most popular giveaways of the year. Right up there with that, the purse giveaway they had this past Saturday.
Oh, man.
That it seemed like everybody and their brother was at that game on Saturday. As I'm scrolling through social media, looking at that this weekend, that was a packed house. Was it a sellout crowd that day?
It was a sellout, and you know, the largest crowd in the history of Busch Stadium was on that purse day, the first purse day they had.
Yeah,
I mean, it's amazing, and I think they only give out like 25,000.
Yeah.
So it is a very popular item, and like all of them. I mean, the Cardinals have done a really good job of doing two things. they give you quality items, mm-hmm. and it's not always against the Pittsburgh Pirates or the, you know, Tennessee Lookouts or some also-ran team, just to generate fan interest and getting people in the ballpark on a day when nobody would come. They've had some good days with some good teams in town.
It's always the weekends. It's always they always do it on the weekends. So
They do the theme nights during the week. They had Nurses Night this past week, and they had a really good turnout for that. And the Grateful Dead was in the same situation. So Megan Everhart does a phenomenal job in making sure that the products are good and the dates are right. And you know, people really look forward to that now. I think more than half the home schedule has some sort of giveaway or theme night.
Yeah, it does. And that it just adds to the entertainment of the of what's going on out there on the field. Again, cardinals.com/promotions for ticket information.
I'm with the home loan experts, James and Jason Gillespie. They have some great programs that are going on right now as we speak.
Yes, there are so many opportunities for a client to save a lot of money.
All you have to do is give us a call.
Wrapping up things here on Lunch with Klabes and Joe here on KlabesOnline.com. The NBA playoffs, they are down to the final four. A little bit of a shock last night with that final game, Suns and Mavs.
Did you say shock?
Yes.
I don't think anybody saw that coming.
If you would have told me Luka dominated the game and the Mavs won, like that, okay, that's not shocking. But in the manner that they did so, and then to see Chris Paul, and he says he's not retiring, but could be Chris Paul's final game, for how bad his numbers were last night.
But they've been that way the last three games.
That's the worst they've ever been, though. That's the worst game he has ever put out production-wise in his career. Minus 39 for Chris Paul.
It was an awful night for the organization. And I just don't know where they go from here. I mean, they got to figure out the Arrington thing. He didn't sign a contract. The owner came out and said some disparaging things. So as good of a team as they are predictable. They got a really good coach. They got a great guy to build around in Booker and some other young players that really made a step forward. But they're in the Western Conference, man. And that conference continues to get better. You now deal with New Orleans. You now see what Dallas, when healthy, can do some things. Golden State's fighting for their lives. Utah, where Memphis. Do they go? Memphis. I mean, Memphis has made a name for itself. So, you know, it wasn't that long ago we were talking about Portland and the Clippers and the Lakers all being formidable opponents. These guys aren't even in the playoffs. So it's really changed, and it's only going to get better with the influx of young talent and some of the teams you just mentioned. So I'm looking forward to it. But Arizona better watch out because if not, they're going to find themselves in some big trouble. And I don't think you can build around Chris Paul at this point in his career. So what are they going to do about a point guard? Yeah, there's a lot of things that they're going to have to take a long, hard look at in this offseason.
I mean, Kawhi Leonard didn't play at all this past year. So you imagine, you know, him coming back for the Clippers.
Yeah, but you don't know what you get from him anymore. You know, I think that's the big question mark. You know, Kawhi Leonard was one of the five best players in the game 4 years ago. And he had the propensity of not healing as quickly as maybe some would expect. That's one of the things that had him fall out with the San Antonio Spurs. He was questioned a little bit in L.A. with the Clippers. Not only that, but he was tardy a lot. They had to hold up the team playing for him a few times, and there were some other little things that Kawhi was off doing by himself.
L.A. traffic, it'll get you.
Well, you know what? There's a lot of reasons.
They got four airports to choose from. Maybe he went to the wrong one.
Well, you know what? That's on him. You know, they don't ask him to do much. You know, the old rule from John Madden, just show up on time and be ready to play when I ask you to. It's not that hard. It really isn't. But bottom line is, I think we see the transition of teams in the Western Conference. And you just mentioned one of them in the Clippers. Lakers obviously have a mess on their hands. I don't know what they're going to do in Portland. So now, as I mentioned, with Memphis, New Orleans, and now Dallas having a say-so at the table. And where did Golden State go? I mean, they got their three best players over 30 years old. So there's a lot of things that are going to happen. So this is where I think drafting and making sure you find a diamond in the rough. I was talking to somebody the other day about Miami. They have seven guys on that team that weren't drafted. You know, and so when you think about how they've developed players, or, you know, it says a lot about Pat Riley and his template that continues to produce competitive teams. When maybe they don't have a draft choice, or maybe that draft choice didn't work out. I mean, a lot of things happen in the NBA, but you've got to find a way to continue to develop talent.
Yeah, the another one too. I mean, the Celtics knocking off the Bucks in the manner they did, winning that game by almost 30 points in a game seven. They knock off the defending champs, and I know Chris Middleton wasn't playing in that game. I know that would have been a huge difference there, but. You know, in the biggest game, Jason Tatum takes over and knocks out the champs.
Well, let's go back to like the second month of the season when the Celtics were a disaster. Tatum couldn't play with Brown, and you know, they didn't have a center. And they don't have this, and Marcus Smart's an imposter. I mean, there were so many things said about that, and a rookie coach. that most people didn't even know how to pronounce his name. They stuck together, and now they find themselves in the conference finals. I think they're going to have their hands full with Miami, but it should be a fun series.
That's it's going to be all Tatum. I mean, it's going to be him putting that team on his back against.
Yeah, but you know what, Miami, they guard too well. They guard too well for it to be solely on Tatum. They're going to have to find some other offense and some other people who can score. And Jaylen Brown can do it. But I think if they get Williams back and if he can play in the middle, then Adebayo is going to probably have a little bit more of a tougher time because this guy's a rim protector. And it may come off the bench. You know, Boston has tried to lengthen their bench a little bit. Miami has a deep bench. So it's going to be a very good series because I think Eric Spoelstra is one of the best coaches in the game today. And Boston's coach really accounted for himself extremely well in his first season.
Western Conference, Mavs and Warriors. Warriors have been there before. They got all their guys back healthy. Mavericks, though, can Luka take on that entire Warriors team on his own?
Well, I think Luka's getting a little bit more help than they've been given credit. Brunson has played well. You know, I think the question is, do you let Luka score 40 every night and make sure somebody else doesn't score? Or do you run different people at him? And by the way, Luka's going to have to guard somebody too. Mm-hmm. Throw in the fact, I think the X factor here will be Jordan Poole and what a great run he's had recently because he can score. He doesn't have the height that you'd like to have, but, you know, he's big enough that he can create some havoc. And Golden State's not a big, tall team anyway. So it's going to be something where I think coaching and matchups will be a real challenge. And throw this into the equation. This is the first time both teams are actually healthy. You know, when they faced each other during the regular season, you know, you didn't have Klay Thompson for a while. Curry was down. Draymond was down. You know, Dallas didn't have Luka in the best of shape. They had some other players that were dealing with some injuries. So this might be the first real competition these two teams have faced when they were reasonably healthy and reasonably loaded to play.
It seems like the Mavericks, they come around when you're expecting some big matchup and you're expecting some big finals matchup. The Mavericks always seem to be that team that comes in there and knocks it out and gives you what you weren't expecting. You know, they did it, remember, with LeBron. They, you know, that they come in there, Dirk wins his championship, knocks LeBron off out there. Didn't they do it? Who'd they beat the other one? Because Dirk won twice, right?
That's a good question. I think he only won once when they beat Miami.
I thought they had two titles. I don't know. Save that for a two-man game. Raymer and Rocky.
Leave it up to the experts.
Leave it for their show. They've been doing that twice a week during the NBA playoffs, and I'm sure Raymer happy to hear that his SLU Billikens, they just got picked. They're going to be doing the kickoff tournament out at the Mohegan Sun for the Billikens to start their season. Announced earlier today, they will be one of four teams heading out there for the tip off.
Who are the other three teams?
That is, let me bring up. It was John Ralstein that tweeted it out earlier, and he for that matchup it is. Let's see. Providence is going to play Miami, and then Maryland taking on SLU in the first round of the 2022 Hall of Fame tip off at the Mohegan Sun.
Now, here's – and I don't know anything about any of these teams because of the portal and everything.
I was going to say, we don't know anything, yeah.
But here's the deal. Let's get off of the name of the school because, you know, with the way the portal and everything has transpired, we don't know if any of these teams are any good. So I'm not going to sit here, they're playing Maryland or they're playing Miami. We don't know. We don't know how good they are.
Right.
And I think when people think about St. Louis, they're like, okay, we know about the Cardinals. What else do they have? I mean, you know, St. Louis U basketball has been a formidable opponent, but not necessarily a household name like they would like to be. They should have some pretty good good season this year. They got a lot of players coming back, and they don't have any excuses about people being out and transferring or hurt or anything like that. Now, with that said, Perkins probably won't be effective until maybe the first of the year, but he's going to be on the roster. So if he's on the roster, he's going to play. If he's going to play, then you expect him to have good results.
Yeah, as John Rothstein also says, St. Louis could be the best non-power conference team in college basketball next to Gonzaga.
There's a big gap between St. Louis and Gonzaga.
A little bit.
Really, you know what, Joe? In all honesty, I've been following the Billikens, worked with them for a number of years, and there are two schools that I always thought St. Louis U should have been. Xavier, when Xavier had their heyday, they could never beat Xavier, but they were in a similar situation, a city school, a private school in the city of Cincinnati, and they never got there. And then here comes Gonzaga, who's out in the middle of the state of Washington, which is, you know, might as well be in Alaska. And how they found a way to become a national prominent team is a mystery to me, but a similar situation as a private school. And St. Louis U would like to aspire to be them also. I don't think it's going to happen because they've been knocking at this door too long. But those are the programs that have not only been able to get there, but establish themselves. And Xavier had a really good run for a number of years. Mm-hmm. And Gonzaga's having one now. St. Louis U just hasn't been able to put it together yet. And at some point, you hope they do.
Claves, before we get out of here, PGA Championship is this weekend. Who you got in that?
Good question. You know, obviously you like to see Tiger do well. But, you know, to be honest with you, Joe, nobody's really lit up the tour. You know, we had the one guy who had the back-to-backs earlier in the year. Oh, he won twice early in the year. His name escapes me. But I don't know if anybody's
– the Masters?
Yeah. Nobody's really on fire right now. I was watching – tournament out in Oklahoma, out in the Wells Fargo, and there were just some guys. Yeah, Shuffler's, but he's a guy that's always around. Doesn't win like I think some people expect him to, but you know, I think the weather's going to have something to do with it. I mean, you're in Oklahoma, so you don't know what the weather's going to be like. It changes like it does in St. Louis. So I just think you got to get off early. You got to get off early. You cannot play catch-up golf out there. Again, I don't think anyone in the field is on fire coming into this thing. So it could be anybody's tournament.
Anything you read about it right now, all the stuff's just been about Phil Mickelson. The fact that he's not there after winning last year and just his fall from grace that he had this these past 9 months or so. That's been the story surrounding it.
Yeah.
And I guess he had the opportunity to play in the PGA Championship this
weekend. No, he withdrew.
I was going to say he had the opportunity and he chose not to because he didn't want to face all the questions that were going to be brought up to him.
Well, he's got a handful of things. He's got the Saudi Arabia comments. He's got going through a really interesting divorce. It's my understanding and maybe some other authorities are looking into some of his practices. So he's got a lot of things going on. Plus, you know what? Probably not as good of a guy as everybody thought he was. You know, you talk to people who know him better than you and I. And just say, well, it's about time it caught up to him. So I'm not going to cry a river for Phil Mickelson. I don't have anything against him personally. But I think there's some things that have happened in the past that make me kind of raise an eyebrow. How about the fact that allegedly he lost $40 million in gambling? And, you know, and I'm not going to get it. If you do the math, there are a couple of other people who used to run with him that found themselves in a gambling pickle too because they were listening to Phil. Some well-known people that if you do the math, you might be able to figure it out. And they lost heavy also.
I get mad when I lose a dollar.
Gambling. Yeah, well.
I can't.
It's not for everybody. You know what? It's not for everybody. Just put it that way.
Oh, what do you got going on this week, Claves?
This is one of those weeks where we're going to kind of try and get into some hockey now that we have a conference final set up. Obviously, the Joe West podcast is going to keep us busy this week also. And we'll see what happens with Cardinal baseball. This is going to be an interesting road trip because not only do you play the Mets, who are really good, the Pirates can also be a handful. And I don't think it was a coincidence that Adam pitched last night so he'd be available to take on the Pirates, which he seems to have the paperwork on. But think about when the Cardinals come back. Toronto, Milwaukee right off the bat. Two of the best teams we're going to see in a long time. You're in the middle of a 35 out of 36 day schedule of playing games. It's only going to get tougher.
Padres too after that, doesn't it? It goes Toronto Brewers Padres,
you're
believe.
Correct. And so there's no, you know, there's no Arizonas or, you know, Cincinnati's to be found. You're going to have to play some good teams. And even when you play bad teams, you have a hard time winning. If you don't think so, ask the Baltimore Orioles, who walked out of here with two games.
Yeah, that's they got to rack up some wins before they get through a grueling part of their schedule coming up next week on their next home stand. Claves, we will talk to you next time. We'll see your blue stuff, but make sure to check out and keep an eye on everything at Claves Online related. Rammer and I with Daily Cards live, and also Rammer and Rocchio with two-man game. All kinds of stuff coming up here on ClavesOnline.com. This has been Lunch with Claves and Joe, powered by Ameren Illinois, driven by Munganass St. Louis Acura, and sponsored by TheHomeLoanExpert.com.
At St. Louis Acura, new inventory is arriving daily, both new and pre-owned. Our buying team adds a higher level of personalized service that others can't match. We sell over 100 pre-owned vehicles monthly, and many of these are matched by our buying teams in Missouri and Illinois. As new Acura production ramps up, be one of the lucky ones to try the newest Type S models now available. Performance has never been so stylish and comfortable. St. Louis Acura remains committed to becoming better than ever for you.